Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We all know that Moses received the commandments of God on Mount Sinai in stone tablets. Yet before Moses could even get down the mountain to give the commandments to the people had already grossly broken the very commandments that Moses was carrying in his hands. We know how disappointed, even angry, that Moses became. But what about God? Did he not see this coming? Was he also surprised and angered by this sin as Moses was? This is our focus today, and Dennis Agashi has joined us once again as we look at the account not from our recollection of the story, but from the Bible itself. And what it reveals is quite meaningful for us, isn't it, Dennis?
It surely is, Chris. It really is amazing that every time we get into these Old Testament stories, Brother Lee has a way to make it so applicable to us today.
Well, Dennis, we come to a new section today in Exodus chapter 31, and that is the breaking of the law. I think most people are familiar with this story, but for the sake of background, maybe it would be helpful if you gave us a little review of the story of the golden calf, Dennis.
As you said there, Chris, that Moses did go up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone directly written by the finger of God, and Moses was intending to bring these tablets or these Ten Commandments down prior to even getting to the base of the mountain. When the children of Israel were there waiting for him, Moses by this time had already been gone over a month, 40 days, and they were wondering, what happened to this man, Moses? And so consequently, they convinced and manipulated Aaron to make a idol or make an image that they could worship something. And through this manipulation, Aaron did something, and as he said, a golden calf came out. And this is the situation that Moses and Joshua met as they were coming down the mountain. I believe all of us as Bible readers have heard the story, but through the life studies, Brother Lee has really picked up the spiritual principle behind the story.
Well, before we begin today, the sequence of events here that are incorporated into this story are very important to the message that we're going to hear. In chapter 20 now, God had called Moses to come up to the top of Mount Sinai and to receive the commandments. But it was later in chapter 24 that he called him to come up again and receive the tablets or the engraved stones, the written copy, so to speak.
Right.
But when Moses gets there in chapter 24, expecting to receive these engraved commandments,
yes,
rather than give him the tablets right away, God proceeds for the next 7 chapters to unveil to him the blueprint, the plan, the design for the tabernacle, his dwelling place with man on earth. And of course, incorporated into that were all of the details of the priesthood and their service. We're going to see today that this order of events, as I mentioned, is very meaningful. Let's go now and join Witness Lee.
If you would spend some time to study Exodus again, you could see that firstly, the Lord called Moses to the Mount of Sinai in chapter 20. And there, the Lord gave Moses the first thing, that is the law. The law was decreed. Then in chapter 24, the Lord called Moses to go to the mountain again. 24:12 says, Moses, come up into my mountain. I will give you the tablets of the law. And Moses came. Yet the law didn't give him the tablets right away. Rather, what the Lord gave him first, we all know, from chapter 25 to end of chapter 31, the Lord gave him the design of the tabernacle and all its furniture and the things concerning the priesthood. In other words, the Lord called Moses to the mountain with the intention to give him the tablets of the law. Instead, the Lord gave him first the design, the pattern of the tabernacle and the priesthood. And we know both the tabernacle and the priesthood are detailed types of the same one Christ, indicating that while God was giving the law, he knew that man could not keep it. And God prepared the way of grace. What is the way of grace? There's the tabernacle and the priesthood. And that is Christ. He prepared Christ as the way of grace for man to contact God and to enjoy him. God knew while he was giving the law, God knew man just couldn't make up to keep the law. There was no hope. So God prepared Christ for us to contact God and to enjoy him. And Christ is our tabernacle, and Christ is all the offerings, and Christ is the all aspects of the priesthood. God to us was 100% in his Christ.
Amen.
In the tabernacle.
Amen.
And the priesthood.
Amen.
God knew. Moses didn't know. Moses, I believe, put his trust, all his trust, in the two tablets. He was happy. He just held the two tablets like this, going down the mountain. He was happy. My, I got the two tablets. He didn't know, but God knew that while there on the mountain, the people couldn't tolerate. They said, what? The very one whom we respect, who brought us out of Egypt, and who took care of us all the way, who brought us here, and he went up the mountain, we couldn't see him. Over 5 weeks, what happened to him? We don't know. We just couldn't wait. And I do believe that should be just the time the people down the mountain were making the molten calf.
Dennis, how is it that if we study this sequence of events on Mount Sinai, we can see that God really had no thought or intention that man was going to be able to keep the law?
Chris, we can see here it was not God's intention to trust in the law, but his trust was in Christ as the prepared way of grace. And this way of grace is Christ typified by the tabernacle and the priesthood. God prepared Christ as the way of grace for man to contact God and enjoy him. This is the real intrinsic meaning of these seven chapters inserted between chapter 24 and chapter 31. Brother Lee shared that the design and the pattern of the tabernacle and the priesthood is just a detailed typology of Christ. Chris, I really like this, to see that when we read these portions in Exodus, our natural thought is, what can I do to keep them, to satisfy God? But God's intention with these seven chapters revealing the details of the tabernacle and priesthood show us that his heart is not that we would keep the law, but his heart is that we would keep Christ. The real meaning of the tabernacle is God coming to man to do everything and be everything to man. And the real meaning of the priesthood and the offerings is man coming to God, allowing God to do everything for man. So we can see here these insertion of these seven chapters, they're not just something that is separated or fragmented in the writings there of the Holy Word. No, they're to show us that Christ is the real person, the only one that can keep all the commandments here.
I think it's really important. Dennis, as time goes on, of course, we pick up new stations along the way, and this program is available and exposed to listeners who have never heard it before. And, of course, we've been in this life study of Exodus for several months now.
Yes.
And spent a long period of time looking at the tabernacle in great detail. And I just want to reemphasize something you said. It's very important. As Moses is there waiting to receive what he thinks are God's real burden, the presentation of the Ten Commandments engraved in these tablets of stone,
right.
God rather gives him this detailed beautiful account of the building of man with God, the tabernacle.
Right. That's right.
And of course, what we've seen in the weeks previous is that this was really a picture, a revelation of the very Christ.
Yes.
As the real tabernacle of God among man.
It really is, Chris. And this is so phenomenal to me that we could see that these seven chapters are not something that are just to be read lightly, but they really detail our experiences of Christ in a marvelous way.
Well, Dennis, there's a number of ways that the law, the commandments of God have been applied or tried to be applied by mankind over the centuries. There's a progression that we see, a superficial application, maybe a deeper application. We're really talking about something today that is at the very essence of man's relationship to the law of God. Certainly it has a place. It's not something to be discarded, but it has to be viewed and implied and understood in its real proper context. That's what we're going to look at in the balance of our message today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In this story of making the golden calf to offend God by worshiping a kind of idol, there are basic principles. First of all, why we cannot keep the law but break the law of God? Why? The principle is this. Why we cannot keep the law of God but break it? Because we have idols. Every man has his own idol. You don't need to break the law of God. As long as you have the idol, you have to know the first three commandments of the law has been broken already. The idol or idolatry is the breaching of the first three commandments of the law. Don't have another God, don't make any image, and don't use the Lord's name in vain. If we don't have the idol, we'd rather have God. In the New Testament, we have the Lord within us as our enjoyment. And this indwelling Christ becoming our enjoyment is not only the strength to keep the law, but just the enjoyment is the keeping of the law. The indwelling Christ becoming your enjoyment is actually the keeping of the commandments. You don't need to keep by yourself. Your enjoyment of the indwelling Christ becomes the spontaneous keeping of the commandment. Spontaneously, you would not have another God. You would not make an image. You would not call his name in vain. You would rise with him. And you would honor your parents. And you would never murder any people. You would never commit fornication. You would never steal. You would never lie to be a false witness, and you will never be greedy. You keep all the commandments of the law. And this keeping is the indwelling God becoming your enjoyment within you. Could you see this? This is the first principle.
Well, Dennis, there are many people, I think, that have the honest thought that all we need to do is do our best to keep the commandments of God, and when the day comes, we'll have no problem. Then I think there are believers that have gone deeper than that and have been frustrated by their own failure in their attempt to keep the law, which we have all tried. And they have come to the realization that really, without the Lord strengthening and helping us, we'll never be able to keep the law. But here, what we're seeing today is something even deeper than this, and that it's not just Christ strengthening us or helping us, but the very Christ himself within us as our enjoyment becomes the keeping of the law. This is a much deeper thought. Can you help us, Dennis? Can you explain it a little bit for us?
I think the only thing I can do, Chris, is emphasize and re-speak what you spoke, that this very indwelling Christ within us becomes our enjoyment, and this enjoyment of Christ becomes the keeping of the law. I believe we can look at our experience, Chris, and see that as we are in the enjoyment of Christ, spontaneously, without self-effort, we are keeping God's law without intending to, without trying to make some kind of improvement. This comes back to the central focus of God's economy that we are always focusing on and always emphasizing in these messages, that as Christ is the only one that can satisfy God, as we enjoy this very Christ spontaneously, everything related to our human life, related to our spiritual life, falls in order. However, with us, we try to put the law first before Christ with the intention of satisfying Christ. Actually, God's intention is to put Christ first and then the law. When we enjoy Christ directly, intimately, and affectionately, then the law is automatically, spontaneously fulfilled through this indwelling one.
Dennis, that was really an insightful perspective on this matter of the order. I think many times our approach is that we think if we keep the law, then we will be entitled to some enjoyment. But this view is altogether reverse of that. The whole operation begins with our experiencing and enjoying the very Christ.
That's correct. This is why Paul in the New Testament says that the law was something added. Grace was always there, but the law was added for a period of time. But when Christ comes, now the law can be taken away.
Dennis, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, the second principle, idolatry is just the enemy Satan's usurping of what God has given us to make it a waste. Here in this golden calf, you could see that wasted a lot of the gold given by God to the children of Israel. For what purpose? For the purpose to build up the tabernacle. The tabernacle needed a lot of gold. But before using this gold for the building up of God's dwelling place, Satan came in. You serve this gold to make earrings. If those Israelis did love the Lord to the uttermost, they would never waste that gold for making their earrings. This is the second principle of idolatry. And the third one, why they made a calf? Why they didn't make an image of Moses? A calf is not for working. A calf is for enjoyment. How about today's people on this earth? The enjoyment is their idol. They just worship the calf. They worship their enjoyment. In today's America, people doing what? Drinking, eating, sporting, singing, and dancing. They just worship their enjoyment. Then the fourth principle, every kind of idolatry is a pretension, pretending to worship the real God. They worship the calf, but they say their calf is the very Jehovah. Every idol worshiper claims that the idol he or she worships is the true God. Now, I come to the fifth principle. It was not so easy to make it a pail of gold into a fashioned calf. Aaron fashioned it by the what? Engraving tool, T-O-O-L. It's not so easy to make an idol. We be careful. Don't think Aaron was a Balaam. Aaron was not a Balaam. He was a true high priest. He was a yoke fellow with Moses, taking the lead of God's people. 31, he would, and he did, made such an idol. Don't think I cannot do it. Don't think you cannot do it. Don't think any leaders in the church would not do it. We all can do it. Telling the truth, all the time I've been fearful, trembling, not to make any idol. Especially when you are capable, gifted, full of talent, you be careful. Just you may make a calf, like Aaron did.
Well, of course, the focus of this story, Dennis, is this account of idolatry, a great offense, a great sin of the people. I think most of us Christians, believers living in Western cultures, probably don't think that much about idolatry. It's not a part of our daily life for most of us in our understanding. We know that there are countries and cultures that practice idolatry, but here that really doesn't seem to be the case quite so much. But we're looking at something deeper than just the outward manifestation of what we would think of as idolatry.
Right.
And in principle, these items really do have a very direct impact on us, and there's a very real possibility that we can have, in principle, the experience or commit the sin or offense of idolatry, isn't there?
You can see that the principle of idolatry is really to love something other than God. Actually, the golden calf there was there just already as a manifestation of what was in the people's heart. They had loved something else. The calf was just a manifestation of what was already there. I believe, as Brother Lee had spoken here in the broadcast, the first point he covered on this matter of the idolatry was, this is Satan's way to usurp what God has given us in order to make it a waste. The gold there that was plundered from Egypt was to be used for God's building, but Satan had already preempted God and usurped that gold for self-beautification and to make a calf. We can see in this situation and in this principle that idolatry is just a usurping from Satan. Then Brother Lee covered that the idol that was made was not the image of Moses, nor was it a horse, but a calf. A calf is related to something of enjoyment, something of eating. If we remember the broadcast on Genesis 18, Abraham prepared a calf for the Lord and the two angels. In Luke 15, a calf was prepared, a fatted calf. So a calf represents some kind of enjoyment. And in this country, as you said, Chris, many times amusement or entertainment can really become a present-day idol to us, occupying us more than God's Word. I think we admit it's a lot easier to amuse ourselves and to enjoy ourselves than to read the Word. And this is why the Lord is bringing us back to Himself. The third item is that Brother Lee mentioned is that the idols were made. We have to be careful, especially the capable, gifted, and talented ones. Brother Lee asked a question to us, are we beautifying our own work for others to worship? To me, this was a very sober consideration. We have to look at our work, see what we're doing. Do others worship our work, or are we doing really something for God? Chris, this is why I like this ministry, because this ministry always leads us to Christ and not to just to man. This is why I really enjoy the ministry of Brother Lee and Brother Nee.
Well, as we've touched it in these recent messages, we have to conclude, Dennis, there is light, understanding, wisdom, revelation here, but the intent, the goal always, as you said, bringing us to Christ and
That's
Him
correct.
Alone, exalting Him alone.
That's correct, Chris.
I enjoy our times of fellowship together, Dennis. The most unfortunate thing is that they're short. So
yes.
We'll have to continue this another day.
Okay.
Thereby, you are hereby invited to join us again very soon. Please join us again. We'll be back with another life study message as we continue on the life study of Exodus. For Dennis Agashi today, I'm Chris Weil. Thank you very much for listening.